And tell us that we are His own. Today I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're just going to run through a few places in this chapter. This is a really long chapter, and if I wanted to attempt it, it would probably take me several weeks to finish it. But today I want to just run through a few sections in here and just kind of hit a couple of places where talks about some things that have been laid on my heart. We want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to start looking at the first couple of verses and really speak about this for a minute, and then move on to hope of our resurrection. And then lastly, if there is no resurrection, why do we live like we live today? So 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So, first of all, let's just look for a few minutes at this. Paul says, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand." In other words, Paul says, "I preached the gospel, and if you believed and received it, that you're standing on that gospel." We sing a lot of times, standing on the promises, right? And the promise is that Jesus said that whoever believes in Him, whoever trusts in Him, because He died for our sins and He rose again on the third day, that we one day would rise again and we would be with Him. But we are saved because of our belief and nothing else. And so he says, if you're saved, if you've truly believed, some people have not really believed in the right thing, but the Bible says that those that have truly believed will persevere, that they will keep on hanging on to Jesus no matter what the world throws at them. And then he says here, he explains what that gospel is in verse 3. He says, "For I delivered you first of all that which I also received." Here's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, the Bible is pretty clear in all these areas. He tells us the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. And so the Bible says that the Scripture, that the gospel, is that not only that Jesus died for our sins, but He was buried and He rose again on the third day. And so if Jesus had not risen from the grave, guess what? We'd be in trouble. But the Bible says that because He rose from the grave, then we are saved because of that. You know, the bottom line is, folks, is the Bible tells us that if Jesus did not rise from that grave, that God would not have been pleased with His sacrifice. And because He was not pleased with that sacrifice, then we would not be headed for heaven. I want to read a verse for you, 23 of Romans chapter 4. You don't need to turn there, but it says, "Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him." That was talking about our sins were charged to Jesus. "But also for us it shall be charged to us are imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. In other words, His righteousness will be put against our account. You know, because Jesus paid for our sins, He was charged with our crimes, with the things that we've done wrong. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. In other words, because He was delivered to die for our sins, but He was raised that we might be justified. Now, what does that word justified mean? Somebody has said it means just as if I'd never sinned. Well, that's part of it. But the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it says because Jesus died in our place and He died for our sins, that He took our punishment. He took our penalty. In a sense, because we trust in Jesus, in a sense, it's almost like we have never sinned, because Jesus paid for all of our sins on that cross. But yet, it's better than that. It's almost like we never sinned and we never ever sinned again, because when Jesus died on that cross, He paid for every single sin that we have ever committed, ever will commit. And, you know, we sometimes think, well, we're not that bad of a person. And some of us, you know, might not be in some senses. You know, we don't do all the outward things that other people do. But when we complain and gripe and are bitter and angry and things like that, those are sins. The Bible says to him that knows good to do good and doesn't do it, that is sin. And so sometimes if we know we ought to do something and we don't do it, that's a sin in the eyes of God. And that's why Jesus needed to die in our place. But it says if He had not been raised, that word justified, it means to be legally declared righteous. Let's say I couldn't do it today. Tomorrow, I told my family yesterday we got Good Friday, and so we ought to have Great Monday. You know, having a holiday on Monday called Great Monday, because it's the day after Jesus rose from the grave, and everything's great because Jesus rose from the grave, right? But Monday, let's say I go down to the bank and I rob it. You know, not that I'm going to, but I go down there and rob it, and they catch me on the camera, and the dye blows up on me, and, you know, there's about 100 witnesses in the bank, and then I go outside and they got the TV cameras, and there's about 50 cops, and then there's, you know, another 100 people watching as I walk out the door, and I got the dye all over me, and I'm caught red-handed. But, you know, I stand before the judge, and the judge looks at me, and of course the jury found me guilty because there were so many witnesses against me that he had to find me guilty, right? And so as he finds me guilty, I stand there, and the judge says, "Mr. McKenzie, you're guilty." And a few minutes after he reads that, guess what happens? Here comes the governor's representative. And he walks in with a pardon, and he hands it to the judge, and the judge says, "Mr. McKenzie, we just found you guilty. But guess what? The governor has given you a pardon." Or maybe it was a presidential pardon. I don't know. But, you know, you get that pardon, and even though you're guilty, what happens? They declare you not guilty. That's what happened when Jesus died on that cross, and He died for our sins, was buried, and He rose again on the third day. That basically, all of us are guilty, and we've been declared guilty. But when Jesus rose from the grave, He declared us not guilty. There's a song, it's a newer song, I don't know if y'all like it or not, but it's a contemporary song, and it's called "Jesus Dropped the Charges." And that's what He did. We had been charged and found guilty, and because Jesus died for our sins and He died in our place, don't forget that He had to rise again on the third day. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus was declared to be God by the power of the resurrection. Let me read that. I want to get that exactly right. He says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So when Jesus rose from the grave, He was declared to be the Son of God by that resurrection power, because He was holy and righteous and pure. He could rise up from that grave and declare us not guilty too. Isn't that amazing? And that's why today is such a grand and glorious day. I know we have called it Easter all our life, but Easter's really wasn't anything to do about Christ. It was about some other false god, Ishtar. But I like to call this Resurrection Sunday, because this is the day that Jesus rose from that grave, the first day of the week, and He rose so that we might have life forevermore. You know, I told you a while ago that I did Miss Allie's funeral, Miss Allie McDonald's funeral on Wednesday, the graveside. And the hope is one day we that know Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, that there'll be a trump, a shout, and the voice of God, and then the dead in Christ will rise, and we shall be with Him forevermore. That is the hope, that one day we're going to get rid of these old bodies, these bodies that don't work, these bodies that can't see and hear and walk like they're supposed to and do all the things that they can't do. And we won't be sick anymore, be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering one day, because the Bible says Jesus is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes, because He promised that He would do that. If He rose from that grave, that was what He was going to do. That was what Jesus told the Jews. He said, the only sign will be given to you will be the sign that just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and he came out, so the Son of Man will be in the grave. That's what He said. And He laid His life down and He took it up again, that He might be declared the Son of God with power. And because He rose, He sits at the right hand of the Father forevermore, and He makes intercession for us. He prays for us. The old devil says, look down there and see what Marty did. And Jesus looks at him and says, devil, I paid for that sin. He said, well, what about this one? He said, nope, paid for that one too. He said, what about, nope, paid for that one too. He is not guilty, because I have paid for every single sin that he ever committed. So the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And I just want you to notice too, I just want to spend a minute on this. Look in verses 5 in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, and then he was seen by Cephas, that was Peter, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, the half-brother of Jesus, then by all the apostles, and then, last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Look at all the witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. You know, more people get convicted for way less evidence in court today. But we've got, you know, the Cephas, Peter, then the 12. We've got 500 people. And at the time this was written, most of them were still alive. Some of them had died. He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by Paul. And so, that's a bunch of witnesses, isn't it? That's a bunch of witnesses. If you took that case to court, you would win. There would be no doubt about that case. And people say that it wasn't true. Josephus, Pliny the Younger, some of these guys that wrote secular history, they even say something happened, because, you know, it tells us in the book of Acts that one minute that at the end of Matthew and all the Gospels that Peter is scared and he's denying Christ and he's denying them to this little slave girl, and he's denying them to a couple other people because he's scared. But then what happens? On the day of Pentecost, he declares, "You who delivered up Jesus, he has risen from the grave. He is the Savior of the world. And you have rejected him." And he's not afraid of these people anymore. Whereas he was scared of a little girl before. And he's no longer scared. And Pliny the Younger, Josephus, and some of these secular historians say something happened. Because, I mean, I guess my question to you is, it's been put like this, is anybody in here willing to die for a lie? I'm not willing to die for a lie. I don't really want to die anyway, you know, for any thing like that. I'm ready to go be with the Lord if He wants me to come, but I don't think I'd be willing to die for a lie. But every one of the apostles, every one of the disciples were killed because they testified that Jesus was the Christ. The only one that didn't die was John, the disciple John. But you know what? He was thrown supposedly in a vat of boiling oil and he lived. And he wrote the book of Revelation at the end. Every one of the rest of them died for their faith. They died believing. You go read all the people over to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Some of them were sawn in two and they were stoned. And all these horrible things were done to people. Horrible things were done to people in the 1400s, the 1500s, the 1600s. Horrible things are being done to people today because they trust in Jesus Christ over in these other countries. And if He didn't rise again, why are these people dying for their faith? If He's not real, why would you die for Him? It's not worth it, is it? I mean, I'd just be dying for nothing. Dying for a lie. But all these people believed. But then, look what he says here. Verse 12, that's kind of what I was saying. And now, if Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there was no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Look what he says in verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, then those who have died or fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are the most pitiable. In other words, if Christ didn't raise from the dead, if He didn't come up out of the grave, if He didn't do what He said He did, and that's not true, we're all liars. Because we're saying that we believe that. That's one of the unbendables of the faith that you need to believe. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if you confess Jesus as Lord, and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth you confess unto righteousness, and with the heart you believe unto salvation. And so we are liars. And we are most miserable. Because you know what? I think he says it a little bit further on that you know, we may as well just eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. That's kind of what the writer of Solomon said, right? We're not going to heaven. If Christ didn't come up out of the grave, then we may as well just do whatever we want to and just live any way we want to live and live like the rest of the world lives. If Christ is not real, if our faith is not real, we may as well just do whatever we want to do and just not have any morality. Just don't hold back. Be like Solomon. He said, I didn't withhold anything from myself. He said, I tried it all. I did everything I wanted to do. Because that's what he says in verse 32. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Look at verse 50 now. I want to just look at a couple of verses over here in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And so what he says is that flesh and blood, people that aren't saved, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But those that have believed are going to be changed one day. That he's going to get rid of this body, and he's going to change it into a glorious body. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that in the twinkling of an eye is so tiny of a fraction that you can't even see the twinkle in the eye. I mean, you can't even measure it. But in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet's going to sound. That's that 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's going to raise us up out of the grave, no matter how long we've been there. If we got blowed up, burned up, whatever happened to us, we've been in the grave for 3,000 years. He's going to put us back together, and he's going to put these bodies back together. Now, those that have believed, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 now, I know some people teach soul sleep. Don't believe that. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you die today and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, Ms. Allie McDonald is up there with the Lord, praising the Lord right now. Her body is still in that grave. But one day, when Jesus comes back, if it's been a long time, he's going to put her body back together. And I don't know how old we'll be, but he's going to put her body back together, and her body will be united with her soul. And the same thing will happen to us. He will unite our body with our soul, and we'll be with him. Because Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to live is Christ. In other words, I've got something God wants me to do down here. And when I live, I do the things for Christ, and I live for Christ. But to die is gain. So many times we worry, we're like that little boy that the preacher was saying one day. He's telling all these little kids in the Sunday school class, says, do y'all want to go to heaven? And a lot of them raise their hands. And they say, well, it's going to be a grand and glorious place. How many of y'all want to go? And they all raised their hands again, except for one little boy. And finally, the preacher looked up over there at the little boy, and he says, don't you want to go to heaven? And he looked at him, and he said, don't you want to go to heaven someday? He said, oh, I thought you was getting a load up for today. we all want to go, we just don't want to go today, right? And that's the way it is. But Paul said, to live is Christ. To die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, what a glorious day it's going to be. We sing that song, oh, that will be glory for me. That will be glory for me when I shall see His face. Oh, that will be glory for me. And so the bottom line is, folks, as he says, death is swallowed up in victory. That's verse 54, the last part. Oh, death, where is your sting? In other words, when we die, that the sting has been taken out because Jesus paid for our sins. If we die in our sins, we're headed to hell. He says, oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember that your labor is not in vain. The things you do for Jesus are not in vain. What little you can do, whatever you do for God, just keep on doing it, because one day He's coming back for us, and whatever we do for Him, He's going to reward us for one day. Be steadfast. That means just don't be immovable. I mean, that just means you are unmovable. What does it mean to be steadfast? That means you keep at it, right? Immovable means you can't be knocked off of doing what you believe you're supposed to be doing. He says, always abounding. Abounding means to excel, to do above and beyond. Be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that whatever you do for God is not in vain. That He will reward you. He will reward me for what we do for Him. And so folks, today is Resurrection Sunday. Yes, we're going to maybe go hide some Easter eggs and do some other things, but you know the bottom line is, remember today that Jesus rose from that grave, and because He rose, we will live with Him forevermore. Those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ. Remember, the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's what we need to believe. That He died for our sins, He died in our place, and that He rose again the third day. And if you believe that, confess Jesus as Lord, and believe here in the innermost being of your heart that that's true and it's right, and that's the only way you're going to make it to heaven. You can't be baptized into heaven. You can't do communion and get into heaven. You can't do anything and get into heaven. The Bible said it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, when Jesus rose from the grave, that means He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. He gets all the praise. And so there's nothing you and I can do to get into heaven. That's the bad news. The good news is that He did it all. He did everything. Remember what we talked about in John chapter 6? And Jesus told those folks over there in verse 26, He said, what must we do to do the works of God? In other words, what do we need to do to get into heaven? And Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe on Him whom He sent. Believe that Jesus died for your sins, He died in your place, and that one day, because of what He did on that cross, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that you will be going to heaven because He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washes me white as snow. Has He washed you white as snow? If you've not confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart means your innermost being. You believe up here the truth that Jesus died for your sins. He died in your place, and there's nothing you can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. But then there comes a time where you're sorry for your sins. And you say, oh God, forgive me. I can't get into heaven on my own, but You are the only one who's worthy. You're the only one who can pay for my sins. And ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you. Because of what He did on that cross, His death, His burial, and that He rose from the grave. And He says, Marty, you're a filthy, wicked sinner. But because you believed on me, I declare you not guilty. And that's what Jesus will do for all of us. Cry out today and say, Lord Jesus, save me, if you believe that. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You know, people, it's crazy, people. You know, we think as human beings, because we always have to do, to do, and do, and do, and do, to accomplish something in this old world, we think there's something we have to do to get to heaven. But Jesus just says, believe. Believe that He is who He said He is, that He died for our sins, and He rose again. And if you trust in Him and nothing else, He says one day you'll go to heaven to be with Him. Let's pray, and then we'll sing number 73, Christ Arose. Father, we love You. We thank You that You did die on that cross for our sins. You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and we love You so much because You did send Him. And when there was no way to get to heaven, because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, we were all guilty, there was none righteous, no, not one, but because You sent Jesus, the God-man, who was perfect in humanness and godness, He died in our place, and He died for our sins. And we that believed on Him, or believe on Him today, shall be saved. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You that He rose from that grave with a mighty triumph over His foes. His foes thought that He was dead, that He was gone, that He was finished. But then He rose from the grave, and then that day all the graves broke open and dead men were walking everywhere, and even the centurion, as he died on the cross, says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Father, that is our cry today. We love You. We thank You today for what You've done for us. And I just pray if there's even one that has not understood today, that has not truly trusted You, that You would help them to understand and to believe, that they might be saved, that Jesus died as a free gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it, or to pay for it, but Jesus paid it all. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn to number 73. Christ arose, low in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose, He arose. Christ Jesus arose.
I'm the child without no more. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services, and so we go out to them, and it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me. And so if you want to help us,
go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.